We're about as functional as the Ravens are. The hell was that? Hello, it is PressBox's Project Game Day. It's the post-game show. It's brought to you by Par Excel. I'm Glenn. She's Rita. What does that end up making it? 24-16? Is that what it ended up being? 24-16, the Ravens lose to the Vikings?
Yeah.
I'm super pissed
at
myself.
Are you upset?
Well, forever. Well, yeah, I'm upset they gave up a touchdown at the end because I had the Vikings defense.
I feel like that didn't change much for your
I'm going to go back and look. I think I lost a point, and I couldn't really afford to lose any points today because my team sucked. Which is sort of fitting considering the Ravens suck, too, so why shouldn't all of the teams that I care about suck? All right, if you want to get in right there in the comments is the way to do it, as we will go over everything that occurred today because we have to. They pay us to do that, and so we have an obligation to do so. But otherwise, I'd like to never talk about it again, if at all possible. The only good news I can think of, Rita, is that things are getting so bad that they can't be dismissed. And I know somebody would hear that and say, that's good news? Well, yeah, it's good news because that's better than purgatory.
Yeah.
Purgatory is the worst thing in football, which is the constant 8-8, yeah, but we're almost good enough, and if we just do this one thing, and it's 8-8 does nothing. The worst thing you can be in football is 8-8.
I agree.
The notion that the worst thing you can be in football is 0-16 is insane. The worst thing you can be in football is 8-8.
Because it means that you have a chance. In your mind, you believe that you were a play or two away from being 9-7 or 10-6.
So you're not going to drastically change anything.
Correct.
Now, sometimes you're 8-8 because your quarterback was hurt or something like that, and you really are better than 8-8, and you don't need to change anything, and that's all well and good. But when you're a healthy team that goes 8-8, the truth is you're not very good. You need drastic change, and 8-8 doesn't help get you drastic change in order
Correct.
To get better. Teams don't regularly go, again, short of you were 8-8 because you maybe were in your first year of a quarterback and he's ready to take a next step in the second year, something like that. If you go 8-8 with a veteran quarterback, it's because your football team isn't very good.
That's correct.
If you have a quarterback and he's healthy for 16 games and you go 8-8, it's because your team isn't very good. It might mean the quarterback's not very good. It might mean the head coach isn't very good. It might mean the court. It might mean a number of things, but you need significant change when you go 8-8. The only good news right now is that the Ravens are starting to look like they're going to be so bad that it can't be ignored any longer. And you can't have John Harbaugh come out and talk about how you competed and how we don't need to fire anybody and we're only player two away. It looks like you're getting to the point where it's going to be so bad that it's going to be disastrous. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's, again, in sports, if you're going to be bad, be really, really bad.
Yes. I mean, I'm in agreement with you, in the fact that if you're going to be bad, you just got to be bad. The thing about it is that the Ravens have always tried to lead us to believe that they were a couple of players away from being this really good football team. Last year, when they lost to the Steelers on Christmas Day, the notion was that we needed defensive players. So that's what they did. They
Right.
went out and got all these defensive players. I have been the biggest component in here every week. In the last 4 weeks, with Brandon Williams being out, as why the run defense
was so bad.
Well, then he comes back in, and
then
first,
the run defense is still really
and at first,
bad.
Yeah, at first,
well, he didn't make a nice
first,
play, right?
At first, yeah. he was there, but eventually they found a way to get in between the tackles and get the yards. And so now I don't know what to say, because my excuse was Brandon Williams isn't there. Well, guess what? He was there today, and they did the same thing. So, the Ravens aren't a good football team. It's time for us to just acknowledge, yes, I know that it's only week 7, that there's 10 more games to be played, but don't fool yourselves, people. Please don't lead yourself to believe, the Vikings have one of the best defense. They do. We're not
disrespecting. No, they have a very good defense.
So
yeah.
We get that thought of it. But Case Keenum was out there looking, he was out there looking like an A1 quarterback. He's a backup.
Right.
They're not good.
They don't get any rush. The Vikings were down to no healthy offensive linemen, and the Ravens still couldn't generate
exactly.
a pass rush.
Exactly, which should tell you that that's the problem right then and there. That man had time to make his throws. And it wasn't even like he was taking deep shots down.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was getting first downs. He was doing what he had to do to get his team to get first downs. But at the end of the day, if you have all the time in the world to find your guy to get open or give him a chance to get open, what do you think is going to happen?
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened today.
Exactly what happened. Let me start getting to some comments, and then we'll get into more of our own thoughts. Andrew Stecka, what if you're a very unhealthy team that goes 5-11? Isn't that kind of where the Ravens are going to say they are after this mess is over? They can say without all the injuries, they may have been 9-7 or 8-8 and in the mix.
But that's it doesn't matter, right?
Part. Again, I think there's something different when it gets really bad. when it gets bad to the point where, like, today it just didn't even look like they tried. It didn't look like anyone tried.
No.
It looked like the defense was sort of, meh, you know, we know how this is going to go. The offense can't score, so we're not really all that interested in it. It didn't look like anybody was. Sam Cook looked like he tried. He went down. He made
a play. Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker looked like he tried. Outside of that, it looked like guys weren't even bothering to try.
Someone on Twitter asked me where was the pass rush today for the defense. I said, oh, they called out today. You didn't get the memo.
I mean, might as well have.
So, yeah, nobody tried on either side of the ball.
And that's the type of thing where, like, you can't hide behind the injuries. When the effort looks like it's lacking, that's when people start to notice, okay, something isn't working.
Correct.
Here. Something drastic has to change. So when I say, you know, what I said to start with is that at least it looks like it's getting really bad to the point where it can't be ignored. Think about what the stadium's going to look like Thursday night on national TV.
A mess.
It's going to be... I said, and I'm not even kidding about this, I've got a friend coming in from out of town. My wife and he are going to go to the game on Thursday night. I need two tickets. I'll give you $20 for two.
You're giving it away.
I'll give you $20 for two, and if you think that I'm lowballing you, you're drunk. I'll give you $20 for your two tickets because I know you don't want to go to the game on Thursday
you don't.
Night. I know damn well that y'all don't want to go to the game on Thursday night and you're going to try to dump your tickets. You can either dump it for nothing, give it to a friend, but I'm willing to offer you $20, 20 American dollars in your Venmo account for two tickets to Thursday night's game.
It's sad. This is where we are.
And that's what we're looking at for Thursday night. So that's going to be embarrassing for them as a franchise to see what happens on Thursday night on national TV. God, how badly does CBS want out of that game?
Oh, God.
They are. You know there's somebody in a CBS executive who's
rolling
asking,
their eyes right now.
But then they're at least asking. Remember last year there was like a game, the Ravens Thursday night game against the Browns was in that weird part of the middle of the season where it was only on NFL Network. It wasn't on one of the other networks. You know somebody at CBS is like, guys, if you just want to make this one an NFL Network exclusive,
do
I think
it.
We'll be willing
we'll
to
be
give
okay.
that to you.
We'll be fine. I'm sure our programming will do just fine.
No doubt. No doubt. Paul, the offensive issues are obvious. I'm as concerned about the defense at this point. Brandon Williams returns, and they still get gouged with the rush. C.J. Mosley is invisible. If he's a free agent after this season, I hope to God they don't anchor themselves with a big contract on him like in the past with other defensive players.
I
don't know that C.J. Mosley is the problem necessarily.
No, he's not. He's not the problem.
Now, I've said all along, and I'll go back to this, when you drafted an inside linebacker, you don't, at the time, this was a franchise that didn't get picks that high very often. Now,
correct.
They're settling into getting picks that high.
Yeah.
Or higher, basically, every year. But at the time, I said, look, you as a franchise don't get to pick this high very often. This has to be a special game-changing type of player when you get a pick like this. And as soon as they drafted an inside linebacker, I said, by all means, if he ends up being Ray Lewis, that's fine. But an inside linebacker with the 16th overall pick who's a nice player, that doesn't work for me. You don't get these opportunities. I don't care if he pans out better than other guys. You'd rather miss drastically by trying to go for a home run with the 16th pick than just settling for a decent player. You can get decent players.
Well,
the Ravens have a history of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, appears to me that this is how their philosophy has been in the past couple of drafts when it comes to first-round draft picks. Breshad Perriman, Marla Humphrey. These weren't guys that you just knew that they were going to be these great players. And they came, you know, they were mid to lower 20-round picks. They weren't great players. They were all right.
Right.
They might be able to contribute. And so the thing is like, what are the Ravens doing in the front office that they're not picking explosive guys, guys that they believe can be superstars at in any team at this point? Because some of these guys that they've picked, I don't look at them and say, hey, they can go and we can plug them in any team and he can be an impact player away. And
that's the
problem that I'm having.
Well,
is that
that's
they're no longer hitting the home runs when it comes to these first-round draft picks, and that's the problem.
Except for Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley looks like he's a home run.
No. He's obviously the real deal. But the other ones that I've mentioned shouldn't be
again,
ignored.
It took a top-five pick.
What, 1-4?
Correct. I hear you.
I mean, you know.
And Jimmy Smith, I think.
Well, he's kind of far removed at this point.
Yeah,
he's, six
years.
Drafts?
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about just within, the last 5 years.
That's fair. By the way, just looking at Mosley's contract, because I hadn't, it's a club option for next year with an $8.7 million base salary. That will not be what CJ Mosley plays for next year. Yeah. Now, they might try to work out something long-term with him, and I think that's probably what they'll end up doing, but they will not have him play for an $8.7 million base salary next season. That's obviously not going to happen. That's insane.
We've seen guys like a Jimmy Smith. You bring him up as a perfect example who had a slow start. You know, Jimmy Smith had a slow start when he first was drafted.
Sure.
And then he got a contract, and he's played lights out.
When he's been healthy. So, yeah.
Correct. When he's healthy, right. He's played lights out. I don't know if the same thing happens with CJ Mosley if they decide to try to get him for an extended contract. You would hope so. You would hope that at some point that he's a good player. He's a serviceable player.
Right.
He's not an outstanding player. I don't think that means I'm shutting the door on him, per se. He's
no,
not a bust.
No.
But you do want to get more production out of your middle linebacker.
Correct, and you have to spend your money on really good players. The Ravens right now are spending a lot of money on guys that aren't giving
defensive
them the
level. Defensive ones.
Well, I mean, they spent a boatload. The way they spent their money this offseason was to go get Tony Jefferson.
Yeah.
And they don't have anything to show for it.
Yep.
And I don't think that Tony Jefferson is particularly playing poorly. It's just that this is what
he's not changing games.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
They
correct.
Had to go get someone that could co-change a game.
Yes.
And they didn't do that.
Correct.
And that's what they're left with.
Yep.
From Walter. Walter said, I'm scouting wide receivers as we speak. LOL. I'm looking at Cortland Sutton from SMU. I mean, keep...
Please help us out.
I said this.
Send it to Ozzy, please.
Yeah, right. I said this as a joke 2 weeks ago, but I told Kyle Ottenheimer, my producer, we should start looking at the draft. We should just start doing some draft segments
now
because it's starting to get that feel. From Kent, if you want to know what a great defense and an average offense looks like, look no further than the Vikings. The Ravens clearly did not get the mix right in the offseason. The Vikings have young players that can rush the passer, and the Ravens right now don't. And I don't know how to explain why it is that this group of young players from the Ravens has not. Matt Judon had a couple of sacks last week. You thought maybe he was getting to a point where he could be that guy. I don't know why it is the Ravens haven't figured out a way to make any of these young pass rushers work.
I could probably.
It could be the 0-for-4 they stink. Like, that's possible,
but I
struggle with that.
Well, but I have a scenario here. I do think that the Ravens have a problem where they want to make players be something that they're not. You have guys there that their specific job is to rush the passer. You don't utilize those guys. So, you know, what are you doing with the guys that you draft? Correa, what are you doing with the Correa? A guy that was known to do that, and he's not, you don't have him doing that.
Right.
You have him doing something else.
Right.
That's not what he does. The Ravens have a problem with saying, okay, we're going to get this guy, but we're going to draft him, but then we're going to just try and change what he does. We're going to make him do something completely different than what he's well known for. That makes zero sense. You have other guys that you drafted for the very same reasons, and you're not allowing them to do that. The problem is that the Ravens aren't allowing the guys that they have to do what they are supposed to do, what they are meant to do, and what they were good at.
And
that's why they look the way that they do.
And it's been this way since 2012.
Yes.
I mean, it's been this way since they decided they didn't need to surround Joe Flacco, and they didn't have to care about the fact that he's got a big arm anymore. Like, they could just give him a boatload of money, and this is what they've done. They've done square peg, round hole over and over and over again. For 4 years, and they've tried to make up their draft mistakes, the things they've done in free agency, and it's just been more square peg, round hole. They've been playing catch-up for 4 seasons, now 5 seasons, since winning the Super Bowl, and they're not going to catch up. Their sins after winning the Super Bowl and this sort of middle-of-the-road thing where they said, well, we're not going to do what we did last time and sell out. I don't know what happened with the headphones, but we'll get that fixed. Just try banging on that thing real quick. That didn't work. All right, I'll fix that. Oh, you know what it is? Talk. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear myself, but I can't. Glenn is out here just running his mouth, guys.
Yeah,
he was
right?
going into his little tangent.
Yeah, right.
And
their
sins turned to your microphone.
Right, correct. They screwed my microphone. Their sins in trying to do this goofy thing where they said, well, we're going to do what we did last time. We're not going to go all in to try to repeat and then end up having it cost us in 3 years. Well, what they did instead was this weird thing where they didn't really go after repeat, and they didn't really do anything to revitalize the team either. They just sort of went to purgatory after that point. They did these weird, weird things that didn't really help their football team in any way. And 5 years later, they still haven't recovered from those mistakes.
That's correct.
They're still in this thing where they can't figure out who they are, what their identity is, who they're supposed to be. I have no idea.
Yes.
I have no
idea.
They
don't either, though, Glenn. That's the problem, is that they would like to be a certain way. They say that they want to be this balanced attack team. I do understand that personnel is not really allowing you to do these things. I get that part. You
don't injuries have hampered them a great deal.
Yes,
and that's
so,
not,
we're very well aware of that. But you can't, you're not in a position where you can do that. And so you're trying to figure out week to week who you are. One week you do the thing that it's good for you in Oakland. You throw the ball down the field. And then the next week you go back to regressing, just throwing dink and dunk like you've been doing.
Well,
the Ravens
and,
don't know what they want
and
to
again,
do week
it,
to week.
It hurts them that Jeremy Maclin wasn't there a week ago. It obviously hurt them a great deal that had neither Maclin nor Wallace today.
Correct.
And I'm not... It's so much the story because everybody wants the story to just be Joe Flacco because it's the easiest thing.
It's the laziest thing.
It's so lazy I can't begin to describe. You all know what's out there. I had somebody today, who was it? Brian tried to tell me that I got this from Brian. 90% of the pass blocking issues are Flacco's fault. That doesn't
Damn,
even make
I ain't realize
that.
I don't,
doesn't even make
did
sense.
Did he elaborate that? Is he
like no? Because this is just what we're doing. We're just doing the bit where we'll try to play mallet. Like you're just doing the lazy bit. Like you haven't seen what's out there. You haven't seen what in the world. You want to say the one play where he fell down was his fault? That's fine. He was going to get sacked on that play anyway.
Anyway,
that didn't change anything. He just got sacked.
Yeah.
2 seconds before he was going to get sacked. He was going to get sacked on that play no matter what. At least he didn't fumble the ball, I guess. This notion that any of this is about Joe Flacco is nuts. There's nothing there. There's no there. There's no T-H-E there. There's no T there. There's nothing. It's an embarrassment. It's watching high schoolers run around and calling them NFL football
That's
players.
Exactly. I mean, Whalen is probably not on anybody else.
Whalen, by the way, might be their most competent pass catcher.
Right.
And he's terrible.
Yeah, which is, that's saying a ton when you're saying that. A guy that you just grabbed off the street and said, hey, go ahead and be an NFL wide receiver. It's hilarious.
It might be their best option.
Well, that's the sad part. That's the thing. See, here's my issue. Is someone tweeted this today, and this could be no further from the truth. Someone said, there's two types of Ravens fans. There's one that's going to blame Joe Flacco for everything, and then there's one that's going to defend him for everything. Now, see, I'm
absolutely gray area.
There's definitely a gray area there. Now, I'm not one to blame him for a ton, but I'm not one to defend him either. I'm going to call it the way that I see it. Yes, Joe Flacco does not look well. I think that we can all say that. If you want to say he's a bum or whatever, I don't care. Like, stuff like that doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned about the name calling in terms of that. What I am concerned about is if you leave it there. Lewis Riddick from ESPN earlier this morning tweeted some stuff, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I'm not doing it word for word, but he basically said that the wide receiver's inconsistency in health has been more of the issue of Flacco's stats than the Flacco of itself. Of course, you had people come in and say, no, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. And he told this one guy, you need to watch the tape. 4 of the interceptions of the 8 that he had were the receiver's fault. So my thing is that don't stop being lazy. If you want to say Joe Flacco is a bad quarterback, I'm fine with that.
I don't care.
I don't really care.
For the record, and people say this, I don't really like Joe personally all that much because what's to like? You know what I mean? Like,
well, it ain't much.
I don't have negative feelings towards
Joe. But
you don't have
any, right?
Correct. The same way that Joe has no feelings towards anyone.
Correct.
This is not a me defending Joe because Joe's a good guy and we're buddies. I don't know the last time Joe Flacco returned a text of mine. Might have been when it's rookie season. It's probably not that long, but I have no relationship with
you
Joe
just
whatsoever.
You tried to brag that you had his phone number.
No, people know that Joe and I have... he used to come on with us once a week on the radio show. We obviously had the famous moment where he and I sat at the bar the one night and he said he was the best quarterback in football.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of background between Joe and I, so people think that I have some reason to defend Joe. I'm going to make this very clear. I saw Joe on Thursday. We didn't even look at each other. Like, I have no relationship with Joe Flacco. I have no interest in defending Joe Flacco as a person. I don't care at all. I don't think he's a bad guy.
We get it.
He's a zero.
But at the end of the day, you realize that Joe Flacco is just one of the many issues in which this team, specifically on offense, has, and people don't want to agree with you with that because they're so short-sighted that the only thing that they can see is the
quarterback.
It's
the easiest thing in the world to do.
Absolutely.
The easiest thing in the world to do is to say, this is on the quarterback.
Yes.
It's the easiest conversation to have because you just want to live in a world where if it was some other quarterback, it would all be better.
Yep.
No. No.
And listen, don't tell us where Aaron Rodgers does. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is an out of this world player. He's a generational player that you probably won't see too often. Okay? I don't want to hear people compare what we have to someone that's easily a first round Hall of Famer, probably one of the most entertaining quarterbacks that we've ever been able to witness in our lifetime. It's ridiculous to me. Everybody is different. Everybody, there's Aaron Rodgers, there's Tom Brady, and then everyone else just kind of falls into place. That's just kind of how the NFL works. Joe Flacco is no different than the guys in his tier. If you want to put him in a tier, he's no different than the guys of his tier.
Nobody wins with this.
You can probably name two, maybe three quarterbacks, because I'd probably say Drew Brees could potentially,
I don't think he could win with this, but
it's so bad that majority of the league is not winning with the guys that you just saw.
I got to be honest
today.
With you, I don't think that Drew Brees could win.
I said maybe.
Could he at some point make a throw? No, I don't see anything that Drew Brees could do.
Nope.
I'm trying to figure out what Drew Brees would do that would be different than what it looks like. Like, what would he bring to the table?
I said maybe.
That would make up for what it is they have to do.
I gave you two and a possible, like with this with spades, okay? I didn't say that my possible was going to go through. I'm saying it's possible.
Joe Flacco hasn't missed an open receiver in – I'll take that back. There was one play today, whereas it turns out there was an open receiver. It was the play where Buck Allen cut in.
Okay.
And, like, he thought he was running
Yes, I saw that.
And Joe Flacco thought he was running a hitch.
I think he thought he was running an out route or something.
Right.
So
they missed an open receiver on that play. I'm going to guess that the guy that was wrong in that situation was probably the running back that doesn't get split out wide very
often. Yeah, because, you know, he's a running back.
That's my guess, is that he had the play wrong. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Joe had the play wrong, and that would be on Joe. But he's not missing open receivers. He's not failing to do the things that can be expected of him. He can't do anything because no one could.
Yeah, that's it and that's all. I mean, I am tired of explaining this to people, so I'm just not doing it anymore, although I'm going to do it on this show. And I just keep referring to people, hey, you want to know what we thought? Look at Project Game Day. I talked about what it was, and I'm not going to argue it anymore.
Right.
You either see it, you either see the issues, or you don't see the issues, and that's fine, but... when you continue to be lazy, I can't tolerate it anymore.
Again,
this is
the response I get. Right. Conversely, can you name one thing Joe Flacco does legitimately well these days, one single aspect of the position? No, and if these other quarterbacks played here, they couldn't do it either.
That's the thing is that, okay, fine, we can't.
Sitting here telling you Joe Flacco's playing well.
If you want to make the point, then your point is made. However, are you saying that all of that is his fault? Because he can,
that's
the part I think that we can't. That,
this
that
was
we're,
the same
we're not
guy that
rocking
told me
with.
That Ryan Mallett should play.
Okay.
This is the same guy.
Sir, you need to be quiet.
It's just I don't know what. No!
Just stop watching football altogether. I think that maybe you should do something else on Sundays. Go bowl or fishing. That might work better for you because football ain't your thing. Okay.
Let me get to some more from Greg. The best player on the team is Tucker. Yeah, I mean that's.
Well, we know that. That's the MVP.
This is the problem. This is what happens.
Tucker and Jimmy Smith. I mean, essentially, are the best players that the
Ravens
have.
Even Jimmy in the second half looked like he was getting a little disinterested.
Well, but yeah, because the game is over.
Maybe some of that is that he's not getting thrown at, so he's just sick.
That too.
He's kind of sick of not being involved in the game. But they threw like a short route to Treadwell where he just sort of looked like,
eh.
Whatever. Whatever, I don't really care.
I got this Achilles thing going on. I'm not going
to
risk it.
From Delhi, I just want to know when Marty gets the boot. I know it'll be hard to let him go on a short week, but something has to give. This is the one thing, because we got a message from Siobhan earlier today, who I love. She's great, and she's involved, and she messaged just a lot. And she said, it feels like there needs to be some sort of change. And a week ago, I sat here and said, Rita, look, if they fired Marty Mornhinweg, I'd have no problem with
it. Yes, I remember.
I'm not telling you that they should because I don't think somebody else can fix this, but I wouldn't have a problem if they fired him. I'll change that. I'll avert that this week. They should fire Marty Mornhinweg. And not because it's going to fix anything. And I want to make that very clear. I don't think they should fire Mornhinweg because it's going to fix anything. I think they need to be willing to say, this is as bad as you think it is. Yes, we can't just keep doing the same thing. I think there needs to be a willingness from the organization to say, period, point blank, we know this is a disaster. And while, again, we accept that Marty Mornhinweg has had lesser to work with, and that's twofold, that's both injuries and also what we gave him to begin the year, we've got to be willing to hold him to the same standard that we've held everybody else to. So I'll be the one. I'm not going to loudly proclaim it. I'm not going to say it's going to be a disaster if they don't fire him. I do think that they should fire Marty Mornhinweg.
So you want them to do it because it shows that there's some accountability in the fact that we've been lied to, that they keep saying, oh, everything isn't as bad as you think it is, and then but firing him kind of confirms that what we see, which is they're not good. Is that what you're saying?
That's essentially what I'm saying. You're doing it for the sake of doing it. You're shuffling the deck chairs. Nothing changes. It's not.
So if nothing changes, and you got to pay a guy whether he's
fired
or not.
You're paying Greg Roman anyway.
I mean,
you
know, I don't know how. I guess I feel like if it doesn't, if if it's not going to change, I really don't know the point in doing it, I guess. The thing is that we've seen this before. This is the third act of doing this.
You're doing it for the sake of saying, you know what, let somebody else run at it. Let somebody else take the shot with it. We know that we can't expect anything to be different, but we're going to give somebody else the chance to do it. And we're accepting sort of this is the final act, right? Like, if this doesn't work, it is just going to be a disaster, and we're all going down.
Yeah.
So we can either shuffle the chairs on the ship and see if maybe the ship doesn't right itself and start floating a little bit, or we can just accept it's going to fail. Either we can just accept that, or we can accept it's going to sink. And I'm not, again, I'm not telling you loudly the Ravens need to fire Marty Morningweg, or things would be better if they fire Marty Morningweg, but based on the ineptitude, based on what a disaster it is, and based on any hope of change, you should just do it for the sake of doing it. And I'm saying it, I'm not shouting it, I'm not going to bang on the desk about it, I'm not going to write a column calling for him to be fired.
Right.
I'm just saying at this point, they should just fire Marty Morningweg for the sake of firing him, for the sake of saying, look, we see the same things that you do, we're not going to sit back and pretend like this isn't the case.
Marty Morningweg is probably hoping he gets fired.
I don't know why he would want to be around the group
of people that he has to work with. He's
go
probably like, please fire me.
Go make it work with Chris Moore and Griff Whalen.
Please fire me. I mean, seriously, what else can I do here? I can't do anything with these
I hear you. From our dude, Man Johnson, I'm glad I didn't waste my time watching these bums play, but listen, some of the Baltimore media makes fun of Cutler and E.J. Manuel, but it comes to Flacco, it's excuses, excuses, excuses. If you think that Jay Cutler has ever performed as well in his career as Joe Flacco has, or E.J. Manuel has ever performed as well in his career as Joe Flacco has, you're wrong.
But what media is he looking at? That's the one I'm curious about, because
I'll happily say, if you bring up the name E.J. Manuel, I'm going to tell you E.J. Manuel stinks. Because E.J. Manuel stinks.
Well, he does stink. Jay Cutler has always played like he didn't care, but my thing is that the media here, the ones that I've seen, don't really defend Flacco.
Yeah, that's
a
good point too.
I mean, you know, they call it for what it is. Lots of media guys here call it for what it is. You know, I just don't really know. I think that the problem is that your perception of what he's doing and what they're saying are two different things. You don't agree, so you think that it's defending him.
Right.
It's not defending him. What we're saying is there's a grand scheme going on here, and you're focusing on one piece of the scheme. That's essentially what's going on. You think that the whole problem is number five. We're saying, okay, number five is an issue. He's not playing well. But then there's other things that's going on, and now it's that is looked at as a defense, when that's not.
Right. I'll define it the best way I possibly can, Rita. I've seen Joe Flacco with I've never seen him with particularly great receivers around him or pass catchers around him, but I've seen him with competent receivers around him. And when he's had his most competent groups of receivers around him, Joe Flacco has looked somewhere between good and incredible.
Yes.
Some level of base, bottom line good, at best incredible, when he's had his most competent group of pass catchers around him. 2012 postseason, 2014 regular season. Now I see him with zero, with zip, and he looks terrible.
Yes.
So one of two things is true. Either Joe Flacco has just gotten significantly worse, right? Like, that's the scenario
that's possible.
A lot of people want to present,
yeah.
Is it's just about Joe Flacco. He's gotten significantly worse than the guy that existed in the 2012 postseason, the guy that existed in 2014. Or the thing that I believe is true, and that's, in order to be a good quarterback in the NFL, you have to have competent pieces around you. And my evidence that I present is that overwhelmingly, the good quarterbacks in the NFL have really good pieces around them.
Yeah.
That's the evidence that I present to back up my theory. I have evidence that I can present, which is look around at the guys that play well, tell me who's around them, and tell me what it is that they would do if they didn't have those pieces around them.
I believe Todd Heap was on your show the other day.
On Monday,
correct?
Yes.
Okay, and I believe that one of the things that he said was this team is lacking someone that says, hey, throw the ball in my vicinity, I'll go get it. Someone that is willing to make plays under any circumstances.
A Todd Heap, for example.
So, correct. Right. So I have presented to people, since Anquan Boldin, can you name me three guys? I'm asking for three guys. Since Anquan Boldin's departure in 2013, can you name me three guys that have been that guy?
Obviously, you're giving Steve Smith.
That's one.
And I assume you're giving Dennis Pitta as the other one.
I'll give you Pitta because Pitta was that guy, although after the catch,
he couldn't do anything after the catch. And even in the contested balls, not necessarily as last year's version of Dennis Pitta, but he was still around.
Correct.
For a minute after that. you know, Kyle brings up Torrey.
Okay, Torrey is not a go up and get it kind of guy.
He was more of a burner.
Torrey was not the guy that was going to, hey, guy, I want to make the play.
Right.
Now Torrey was beneficial because Torrey was the guy that was going to get the pass interference.
His presence allowed for somebody else to work the field in ways.
Correct.
And I have fought about Torrey Smith enough. I don't need to keep fighting you about
Torrey
Smith.
All I'm saying is that he's not the go-up-and-get-it guy. He's not my third go-up-and-get-it guy.
More so than the guys that he's had otherwise, but no, I don't think he's your pro. Like, if that's the role that you're trying to fill, Torrey Smith was not the guy that you would go get. But I would certainly, there is no doubt in my mind that Joe Flacco would be far more willing to throw certain balls to Torrey Smith.
Absolutely.
In similar situations than the guy that he's worked with otherwise.
Absolutely.
Do
you get what I'm saying, though?
Well, no, this is part of the story.
Three guys. And five different roster. I'm talking about five different seasons, and we can't even come up. We can't even agree on three.
No. I'm not.
That you can do. So I guess the point is that what are you looking at here? Are we just looking at the guy under center, or are we looking at the skill players in which the guy has to work with? If I can't name three guys and five rosters,
by the way,
problem.
Andrew, Rita started that by saying after Anquan Boldin.
Anquan
was the prototypical example of this guy. That's what made Anquan so perfect
for
Joe Flacco, is that Joe had such trust in this dude's ability to catch the ball that he was willing to throw balls that were guarded, that were defended, that were tough 50-50 balls to catch. They don't have anybody that they're willing to do that. They just don't. And this is the thing about people bitching. I get this complaint a lot. Well, I'm sick of him throwing the ball short of the sticks on third down. Look at what else his options are. First of all, even if he magically has time on third down to throw the ball, which today he did not have much of, but even if he magically has enough time to throw the ball on third down, he's not missing somebody. There's not someone that's open downfield that knows. And again, today this is an embarrassment. The three guys that went out there as wide receivers today, it's a joke. I mean, these guys are not. You can't even say that they're fifth receivers in the NFL, group of guys. These guys are not NFL football players by any stretch of the imagination, Campanaro, Whalen, and Chris Moore. And I'm not.
Chris Moore was inactive a couple of weeks ago.
Whalen wasn't employed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Campanaro was only employed because he returns kicks.
Yeah.
These are not NFL wide receivers that they are trying to throw the ball to today. So it's a little bit unfair to judge it by today because these guys can't do anything.
And against a top five defense on top of that.
Correct. That's also fair. All of these things are very fair. It's a mess. It's a disaster. I don't know what you think they're supposed to be doing. And that's the frustrating part, is when you bitch about Joe Flacco, tell me what he's supposed to be doing with this.
What do you want him to do? If you can give me an answer that makes sense with the personnel that he has, I'm willing to listen. But you have to take in consideration the guys that are up front and the guys that he's throwing to and the guys that is running the ball. I mean, because Alex Collins,
this was always going to come with Alex Collins. At some point, teams are going to keep watching the film and say, if he's on the field, he's running the ball, let's go get him.
Yes.
And that's just all it is. Once Alex Collins comes on the field, they're running the ball with Alex Collins. And so while he's been a nice story, their complete unwillingness to throw the ball to him, their complete lack of trust in him as a pass blocker, you can't keep him on the field. This was the Kenneth Dixon problem from a year ago. Look, we all love Kenneth Dixon, right? Until they actually tried to have him play as a running back, and then you realized he was such a liability as a blocker, he was going to get the quarterback killed in the process. And so when that happens, it's not just that you can't get a lot of snaps, you can't be on the field. Because you cannot be a liability that's going to get someone else hurt. Alex Collins, I haven't seen enough. I don't know that he's a terrible blocker. He hasn't had the opportunity for me to know that, but they apparently don't think he can block.
Correct.
They apparently don't think that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And so when he's on the field, now all of a sudden the Vikings have a few weeks of tape of him to say, dude, we know what they're doing. The moment that Alex Collins comes on the field, they're handing the ball off to him. So why were we going to bother with looking at anything else the moment he's on the field, and they're going to start to take him away?
And the Vikings game plan, I mean, they played a lot of man today. And if I were the Vikings, I'd play a lot of man too, because guess what? I don't have any faith that any of these guys are going to get open from my guys.
Yeah, I mean.
So they did. Their game plan was absolutely to, we're going to put pressure on you essentially on every down. You want to try to run on us? Cool. You can try it. You want to pass on us? Okay, cool. But these, we don't trust these guys to get open. So we're going to go ahead and we're good with not doing anything other than running man coverage. And that's what they did. And the Ravens don't have the personnel to challenge that. The only reason why the Ravens moved down the field on the last drive is because the game was over and they was running a prevent defense.
Correct. They weren't coming after.
That's it.
Yep, no doubt.
That's it.
Let me roll through a few more of these really quickly. Jeff, if we tank, will John still be the coach? And he also says he'd rather have Drew Brees. We're talking about what Drew Brees would do. Look, tell me you'd rather have Drew Brees all you want.
I'd rather have a few people, but guess what? They aren't available.
I also don't. I still am trying to figure out what you think that Drew Brees could do. But just look at his skill set. And I'm not knocking Drew Brees, but look at what he brings to the table, what his skill set is. If you said to me, I'd rather have Atlanta Falcons era Michael Vick, I think we could have a conversation about that, because that guy with this group would probably be able to have more success because he has no need to be in the pocket.
Yep.
He doesn't have to be in the pocket whatsoever. There are guys, people will obviously bring up Colin Kaepernick. I don't think that Colin Kaepernick is quite that guy. If you can get me Atlanta Falcons era Michael Vick with this team, I do think you could get better results. I don't think significantly better results, but better. And I still think at some point defenses would figure out what you're doing and take it away, because you still don't have any playmakers. That all being said, if they tank, will John be the head coach? Oh, I mean, if they tank, I mean, if this is the beginning of the end, if this spirals to a 3-13, 4-12, 5-11 type of finish, I don't think so.
I feel like it's potential that they do try to bring him back because of the injuries. I think that's why they gave him the extension to begin with. They didn't want him to be a lame duck with all the injuries that they have on IR.
I hear you, but so, I still think that you need to look.
Because they do play hard for him still.
There are a lot of things. Steve McNair got hurt in 2007.
Correct.
Brian Billick didn't get a pass for that, because what happened was they looked like they gave up. And that's the one.
But that's the difference. Is that yes, today.
When I started this conversation, Rita, is that what I saw today was a sign of this looks like it's headed towards the end.
But is that because they knew that they personnel wise they could not go against that team?
It might be.
Because next week maybe they'll come out and play.
Perhaps, but that's where a coach is supposed to make the difference. A coach is supposed to be able to get in there and inspire a team. And if you've lost that. I'm
just saying I don't know if they've lost that yet. I'm not gonna base it by today, because I really don't know how you pump your team up and say, "Hey guys, we're gonna go out here and do the best weekend with Chris Moore, Whalen, and Michael Campanero."
Man did follow up to say, "Good point, guys. I agree. The receivers around Flacco are pretty garbage." I mean,
that's all we're saying. Look, call him garbage. I don't care. Call him whatever. You can call him whatever you want, minus the child of God. Right. We're just saying. If you're going to call him out, you got to call everybody else out, too.
It's just one disaster.
Dumpster fire.
Correct. Paul, a different coaching staff and healthy players could change a lot of things, but still seems like there needs to be some sort of changes in the personnel department. I read a quote from DaCosta a year or so ago where he said other teams have surprised the Ravens with how they've gotten better at the draft. They lost out on players they didn't think certain teams would be smart enough to pick in the past, etc. Makes me feel like the Ravens haven't evolved in that department themselves. Now they're the organization playing catch-up. Have other teams taken their top scouts? I know that type of news never gets a story in the paper, but would seem to be significant. The Eagles are an example. The Eagles went in and gave one of the Ravens' top scouts, Joe Douglas, who's kind of personally responsible for finding Joe Flacco. Not personally responsible, but Joe Flacco was really a Joe Douglas find, and they gave Joe Douglas a very powerful position within their department to say, we see what you're doing. And I don't know that that's the story of how the Eagles came across Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a top two pick. You know what I mean? Like, he was number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, anybody could have found Carson Wentz. You know what I mean? Like, wait, was he number
two,
one?
Two. I think he's two.
Goff was one. He was two. Right, correct.
But I got your point.
But like anybody could have found that. So I don't credit Joe Douglas for that. But the point is, yes, that's a good example of a team saying, hey, look, we see what you're doing. We want to do what you're doing. All that being said, I don't know. I don't have an answer for are teams better at it? Are more teams? Look, until a few years back, there were more and more teams that were still using the same scouting service as every other team. It took within the last decade for teams to really start understanding we need to do things completely different than everybody else is doing. So is that maybe what Eric DaCosta was referring to? Perhaps?
I mean, his point, though, is the point that I've been trying to make for years, where the Ravens have felt that because they've been successful in the past, that they didn't have to make a ton of changes in terms of how they drafted. Meanwhile, the league has changed, number one, because now it's become more of an offensive league. And with that, the personnel has changed. We watched the Steelers, who had no need to go out and get a wide receiver, get Juju in the second round.
Right.
No need. You already had, I believe, 6 wide receivers before you drafted this guy, and you still went out and drafted this guy. Why? Because the league is offensively driven.
Right.
And they know that, and they're doing
and
what they can.
And because they spend a lot of money on a quarterback.
Absolutely.
And they have to win with that quarterback.
And that is the difference here, is that the Ravens are, to me, they're behind on how they do things and how they run things from a personnel perspective. And other teams have caught up and said, okay, well, if the league is going to change, obviously our philosophies have to change too. This is what we have to do. What was it that we talked about before we came on the air? Players in terms of less 20 picks in the first three drafts?
In the first three rounds of the draft, the last 20 picks the Ravens have made, 5 of them have been offensive players.
5.
The 5... One has panned out, Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle.
Yeah.
One, at least, is a guy that, if healthy, would have a role on the football team. Crockett Gilmore is not a particularly good football player, but
he's not bad.
He's serviceable.
Yeah, he's serviceable.
He was supposed to be a blocking tight end. He's actually been more of a pass catcher. He's been more of a underneath target. He's been okay. The other three have been complete whiffs, complete failures. Obviously, the two that are more recent were Breshad Perriman and Max Williams. The fifth one that you have to go back to is as far back as Bernard Pierce.
Yeah.
That's how far back we're going. 20 picks, 20 top 3 round picks.
Yes.
So that's days 1 or 2.
That's unacceptable.
5 on the offensive side, one of which has panned out.
That is unacceptable. We just discussed the fact that this is an offensive league, and you're telling me that in your top three rounds, in your last 20 picks in your top 3 rounds, 5 of them, one quarter.
Right.
25% of it were offensive players. Unacceptable.
I agree with you.
And the Ravens are going to have this problem until they realize, hey, guys, we're behind here. We need to go ahead and figure out what we got to do to catch up. Catching up means giving the quarterback that you spent a whole lot of money on some guys that he can rely on.
And there is an argument that I wonder if it's too late. You know what I mean?
Like, well,
that,
no. That yes, and for this regime, it is
correct,
too late.
Correct.
Yes.
That at this point, it's more of a case of
you
failed, and in the process, you failed this quarterback, and none of this is going to get fixed until well down the road. Look, this guy's going to be the quarterback next season.
Whether you like it or not.
His contract dictates that he's going to be the quarterback next season. Even in 2019, it's a real reach to think that he wouldn't be the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if he struggles, you're still talking about $16 million in dead money to make him not be your quarterback. You can say all you want about, well, it could be $10 million in cap savings, but that's still $16 million in dead money. You could try to spread it out past June 1st, make it $8 million in the cap in 2 years. That's still an absurd amount of money to have dead against your cap 2 years down the road. I still wonder if you're going to be able to. I don't know that you can fix this in 2 years.
You can't.
I don't know that
I don't
you can
think
get
so.
To the point where at any point you can make it work in 2 years.
Nope.
I think that you're right. I think it's going to come with a new regime.
Yep.
I need 30 seconds to tell everybody about Par Excel, then we'll come back in and set up things for Thursday night. It's the Project Game Day post-game show brought to you by Par Excel.
The Par Excel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right. So the Browns still winless. They had a chance today against the Titans.
Browns going brown.
Yep, that's what they do. That's the way that it goes. The Steelers and Bengals are underway right now. That's what's going on elsewhere in the division. By the way, the Steelers are already up. Antonio Brown touchdown.
Oh, great.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
So it must be nice for us to just watch the team that we hate the most have
right.
loaded offensively, and continue to score points. I mean,
hey, that Ravens defense, though.
Yeah. Oh.
Ravens defense.
Not
that
looking
Ravens
so good.
Defense. So what's next is Thursday night. We're still doing this, by the way. We'll be with you Thursday night, late night. Rita's going to have to wake up at like 3 in the morning.
Lord. You know I'm got to go to bed.
I know. I mean, this is the way it works. This is the way it works. Got to put your big boy pants on.
I know.
That's the way it goes. We're back with you Thursday night. I'll be at halftime, Reed and I postgame, Ravens-Dolphins. Some controversy in Miami now as Jay Cutler left the game today. Matt Moore came in and looked pretty good in leading the Dolphins back to a victory.
I am a Matt Moore fan. I'm not going to lie to you. I get why they got Cutler. I understand it.
Right.
But
it was a connection with Adam Gase.
But I like Matt Moore. I like what he had done so far while he was in Miami. So I'm not surprised.
Now, they both finished very similar lines today. Matt Moore, 13-21, 188 yards. Oh, stupid. Stupid websites with ads. 13-21, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Jay Cutler, 12 of 16, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And a pick. So they had very similar lines today. It will be interesting to see if Jay Cutler is ready to go for Thursday night, and if he is, do they go back to him, or does Matt Moore become the guy? Just an interesting decision they will have to make in Miami with what they're going to do at the quarterback position following Jay Cutler getting hurt today. We'll see what they do there. Short week for the Ravens. Typically, these things benefit the home teams on Thursday night, but we saw Philadelphia going to Carolina 2 weeks ago and win on Thursday night. You know, Oakland needed a miracle at the end of the game on Thursday
yep.
night to beat Kansas City.
Yep.
So I don't know what to make of it, and I sure as hell don't feel good. Remember, we were all penciling this game in as a victory. Not so much. All of a sudden, the Dolphins are 4-2. They look like they're a better, if not noticeably better, team than the Ravens. And obviously, the Ravens will have to see what the story is, both with Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin. The report from Ian Rappaport before the game when they said that Maclin wasn't going to play was that he'll be ready for Thursday night football. But remember, Rappaport reported last night that he was going to be ready to play today.
Today, yep.
So I don't know what to make of that. If anything, you'll have to monitor it throughout the course of the week. And then with Mike Wallace, it's the concussion protocol thing. By the way, that's one of the more uncomfortable parts. What an uncomfortable thing that was today, them continuously showing Mike Wallace on the sideline. I get it. There's some news value in that, but
yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he was in Minnesota, didn't have the best of career in Minnesota.
Right.
They said the broadcast, the Ravens broadcast on WBAL said that he was trying to get his coaches to get him back in. They would not. But like you said, I mean, we don't need to see that.
It was tough.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
tough to watch.
We don't need to see that.
That was really, really tough to
yeah.
watch. All right, Rita, I appreciate it. Of course, you're on Twitter, at the NFL Chick.
Yes.
And, of course, every Sunday morning, you, Ken Zales, and Kyle Ottenheimer with
yeah.
the Fantasy Reality Football Show, pressboxonline.com/radio. That's where you can find me, as well as glennclarkradio.com, every weekday from 10 to noon for Glenn Clark Radio. We will be back on Thursday night for Project Game Day for Ravens Dolphins, and it'll probably be another disaster. But we appreciate you hanging out with us for this one. We will talk to you then.